It's a cloudy day in Soho, and I am sat in Jungle Studios talking to senior sound designer Chris Turner. Chris Turner has just sat on the radio jury at Cannes Lions. The festival finished this Saturday, but I'm here having a quick catch-up with him to find out about the festival and what's involved. But Chris, first of all, do you want to tell me a little bit about yourself, what you do here at Jungle?
Sure. So I've been at Jungle for 20 years in September. I'm a sound designer and also part of the management team here. And we predominantly do radio and TV commercials.
Okay. And is it your first time on the Cannes Lions jury, or are you an old-timer?
No, it's my first time on the Cannes Lions jury. I've done lots of other awards. And it was interesting how different the process there was.
Okay. I'm from the outside, as someone who'd been to Cannes for a few years, the whole process around judging seems shrouded in mystery, like some big sort of occult experience. Now, I'd love it if you could do something to demystify the judging process, what it involves, and how you get to whittle down the work to the final shortlist and ultimately the winners.
Sure. You know, the process is the most logical process you could ever choose, really, which is you listen to all the entries, which is great because, you know, I've judged on some things where the shortlist is already prepared. So, you know, because you're limited in time, maybe you only have a day. And so you don't hear all the work. You just hear the shortlist, which I think is a shame. What was great about Cannes is that we heard all the work. And there was a lot of it. You know, there's over 1,400 entries.
And so how long does it take you to get through all that volume of work?
Well, on the first morning, we listened to certain categories as a whole. There were 15 judges, and you know the idea was that we'd split into three groups of five to get through the work, and it, you know, it worked perfectly. It was 2 days of listening, two whole days, very long days, 9 till 6 of listening to all the work.
Wow!
So each piece of work is given a score between 1 and 9. And based on an average of everyone's votes, decides on whether it makes the shortlist or not.
Okay. And at the end of the process, you choose a Grand Prix winner. And this year that was KFC, like Ogilvy made the Johannesburg.
Yeah.
I can imagine it's always, after all that time together in a room, listening to the best examples of radio creative advertising in the world that year, it must always be quite a hot debate getting to that Grand Prix, and I'm fascinated to hear your insights on the choice.
Yeah, you know, that's funny, because you just jumped from day two to day four at 10 p.m.
Right.
So the last day was started at 9. We finished it at 10 p.m. in the evening.
Yeah.
And the last day was really about which awards went to which work. I think it's fair to say everyone in the room loved the KFC Sad Man meal from day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a little note in my phone that there was one of the lines from one of the scripts that I wrote down because I didn't want to forget it. I wanted to share it with my friends and
okay, can talk share about it. Can you share it with us?
Yeah, it's a line where the guy says, you know, when I interrupted her too early, when she said, I love you, tube. I just thought it was hilarious.
So I think KFC and, in fact, South African agencies do have a reputation for great writing for radio.
Oh, yeah, the copy is just amazing. The amount of entries from South Africa was, you know, notable. It was incredible how much work they put in.
Okay.
But also how much of that work made the shortlist.
Yeah. And if you were speaking out to creatives in the UK, what sort of advice would you give on sort of how to excel in radio categories, I suppose?
Well, you know, radio really is the home of great copywriting. And, you know, I work with loads of creatives who always say to me, I love radio, I love it, I love radio. But then I don't see that much radio work being done. Quite often, you know, it can be an afterthought to a TV campaign, and and the writing that comes from it, it comes directly from the TV. And usually shorter in length than the TVs that run. And it feels like an afterthought. But there are very few people who start with an idea for radio and do it incredibly well. You know, there are a few creators I know who do it so well.
I think you're right. I think it's a very interesting point that seeing radio as an echo of a TV idea or a TV script is interesting, because clearly, if you're thinking of a creative concept in both visual and audio terms, it's a very different beast when it's just audio. Yeah. And actually, they do require different approaches. I think when you've just got the audio there, it probably does require a different sort of approach.
Yeah, it really does. All the great radio scripts we listen to, you visualise them so strongly. You visualise the people talking, the scenarios. It really comes alive in your head, which is why radio is called theatre of the mind. Which is very different. You know, with a TV campaign, you've got the visuals to really lead you and set the scene. With radio, you've got very little time to sort of paint that vivid picture.
And as a sound designer, how can creatives help you to make the best piece of radio work, of audio work possible?
I've said it many times, but the scripting stage, the concept stage, it's really important to sit down with a sound designer and work out the possibilities, because some of the creative executions I heard in Cannes, it was almost as if they'd been written by sound designers. There was one very short script selling dental floss, which I championed quite heavily. I'm not sure everyone loved it, but I really loved it.
Okay.
It took three types of food. So one was pepperoni pizza, and it was said forwards and backwards several times, which gives you the motion of the floss. And as it progresses, the words get shorter until it's gone. And it just says, buy floss, essentially.
Yeah.
Which, is very creative.
Yes. It's like it involves the listener in a different way, because you're required to think what's going on. And that brings you to the product, right?
Yeah. And, but sounds going forwards and backwards, it's just, what a brilliant idea. There've been other scripts that do similar things. There was one with a washing machine that did very well last year, where it panned from side to side, equally good. For me, that is really, really clever thinking in terms of wordplay, but also how sound moves.
Yes, yeah, I think, it's almost visualizes by being clever with sound design.
Yeah.
It then becomes a picture in your head. Theatre is the mind, as you said. One thing that I was interested in, particularly this year, I think there is, the radio category has gone beyond sort of pure radio now, right?
Yeah.
So how, as a judge, do you compare the apples of a radio ad with the pears of a podcast or a longer form piece of audio? What kind of conversations go on?
Well, it's it is difficult, because there were some branded content, so documentaries, podcasts, and some which had had huge budgets for people like Amazon, and some which had had very little. But really, you're just judging the content. So the choice of music, the sound effects, how well it was written, did it feel original or different enough? With documentary style, was the style significantly good of its genre? I'd say it isn't an easy thing to judge. But we managed. Through a lot of debate, we managed to.
Sure, sure. I think your point about budget is really interesting.
Mm.
That, yes, clearly a budget can help with the production values, but ultimately a good idea will still
yeah